Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and hotel. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omiika 7 here live coming to you right from my living room. I am your advisor, the one you need, and the advocate, the one you want. We'd like to welcome you once again. The input is in the house. This is a Friday. Welcome, everyone. Families, gather around the terminal. Bring the children. We are going to be talking about the Crusade for Justice. That's right. The Crusade for Justice, it still continues on. The destiny still continues on for African Americans. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to continue on with National Portrait Month, now Library Month, as well as Teacher Appreciation. To those teachers who are out there, this is Friday. Why don't you take a break and come on in and call in, lock in the dial, 646-478-0270. And to you poets out there, don't be shy. Take out your poetry and come on in and be an orator. And stand up for the crusade for justice. As we begin to talk to you about the civil rights movement, know that it's not a given. Know that just because they put it on the books, it can literally be taken off the books. So we don't want to get comfortable. And once again, I'd like to welcome you youngsters out there. What up, youngsters? What up, preschoolers? What's going on, middle schoolers? This is your Omi in the house, and she's saying it's Friday. You ought to be literate by now. You should be up to your neck in reading books. I'm sure you've been to the library several times already based on the fact that you want to honor National Poetry Month. That's right. If you're not reading Langston Hughes, Nikki Giovanni, Maya Angelou, then you ought to be. Get that poetry out, get those novels out, get that Shakespeare out, and be a Shakespeare for that matter. Go ahead on, you little groupies. Get the book club going. Set up your book clubs now. Find some book clubs to join for the summer. Tell your mother you want to go to pre-college programs. That's right. Mothers, listen up. Omi is an old pre-college instructor. My sons went through pre-college for 5 years. Tell me about it, okay? I know it like the back of my hand. Pre-college is the best thing you could do for your African-American children to let them know that they, too, can be a recipient of a college degree. That's what Project 2019 is all about, ladies and gentlemen. You probably haven't noticed it. Every time I say we're a consumer family education group, I really mean we're all about the business of helping African Americans obtain a higher level degree. I don't care if it's a one-year certificate. I don't care if it's a two-year technical degree. But get the credentials under your belt and learn a trade, learn a skill, become a technician. If you're not gifted for technician work, go on to school and get your four-year degree. And I'm pushing those youngsters out there to go on into law. We need more lawyers. We need not just criminal defense people. We need lawyers who can fill out forms and act as a trial lawyer and be a member of the bar. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. As one of my favorite subjects, law is one of my favorite subjects. I almost decided to go to law school. Instead, I became a paralegal and spent many hours studying how to assist the lawyers. That's right, I'm not a member of the bar. Let me put that out there, but I will be talking to you about doing pro se law. Every one of you have a right to pro se law, to represent yourself in a court of law in certain cases. You need to find out what cases they are. You also have a right to fill out your own forms, type them in, or even go to a service that provides for you the ability to type your form so you can represent yourself and write a motion or going in to write a request to the courts. You have to understand that our children family has to start early in learning how to act as a pro se candidate to stand before the court to argue their own case. You really do, because you certainly can't afford these attorneys out here nowadays. And the average person who gets locked away will never have the kind of money that the lawyers need for them to win their case. The majority of those institutionalized brothers and sisters are relying on those law libraries, the Westlaw, and they're using their own skills to fight their own cases. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be right back in the air talking about the crusade for justice. That's right. Raise your right hand up in the air and say, we want the crusade for justice to come back. Put that hand up in the air. I see you out there. Get those fists up. And we're not just going to throw our fists up in the air. But we're going to do something a little bit better than that. You know, they say that whenever black people want change, all they do is just march, and they march, and most of our young people are tired of us marching. We got to do something more than just marching to make a change. Our brother is in trouble. Obama's in trouble. And we've got to find out just what is his agenda for the African American and what can we hold him to. We've also got to get behind him and assist and aid him in what he is doing. Now, I know a lot of you are not happy with the brother right now, and some of you have grown cold and have a jaundiced eye towards Obama. But remember, after all, he still is your brother. And we got him in office, now we got to help him stay there. And we got to get behind him and let him know that there's a debt to pay. That's right. Let him know that African Americans just can't wait no more. We just can't wait no more. And we're always being told, just wait, just wait, just wait. Well, waiting is obsolete now. We want to have our cake and eat it too, and we want to be a part of a movement that talks about the crusade for justice. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back in the atmosphere bringing it to you live and telling you the buck is the naked truth. Stay tuned. Welcome back, family, and you have Yaomi in the house. I am your emperor here to serve you. I am your servant. Ladies and gentlemen, our objective for this evening on this topic of Ida B. Wells, the crusade for justice, is to gain insight into the Jim Crow practices in the South states, ladies and gentlemen, and to determine the effects of the legal restrictions on black African Americans after the Emancipation Proclamation. To demonstrate an understanding of legal terms, we're going to be talking a little bit about legal terms. No, you can't get your degree in here in law, and you can't become a paralegal after you finish this course, but you can be encouraged to go on and close the gap and look at taking the exam for the entrance into law school, and you can become a recipient of funds. That's right, there's scholarship money everywhere looking for African-American people to go into law. There are just not enough lawyers. Now, you ask the question, Omi, do you have to practice trial law? Do you have to take the exam? No. There are some lawyers who are working in corporate America, private institutes, who are doing contract law. They are working with organizations, non-for-profit as well as for-profit. They're also working in capacity of research. They're working in capacity of offering pro bono. What is pro bono? That's one of those terms we're going to be talking about, where a lawyer vows to give so many of their hours back free to the community. As a paralegal, I also have made a vow to give hours back to the community. I have given many hours to NAACP, working with clients who couldn't afford a lawyer through the legal aid office. As a matter of fact, I gave so many hours that they named me Woman of the Year and gave me a plaque and a celebration party. Now, what that means is that every paralegal out there, and if you are, raise your hands, paralegal, so I can see you, raise them high, because somebody needs to know you're out there. There are people that need assistance with form preparation, and I didn't say acting as if you're a member of the bar. I mean form preparation. We have every legal right to assist people in typing their forms and filling their forms out. However, let me make this plain. We are not lawyers. We're not attorneys. We work up under the assistance of attorneys. However, whatever we type, it must be given to us by the client. We cannot make any suggestions. We can refer you to books and ask you to purchase them. And in those Nolan books, mind you now, I said Nolan books. I'm only recommending Nolan books. And during my next segment, I will be endorsing Nolan's material. However, you must know Nolan is a self-help organization that encourages you to do your own pro se and fill out forms and find attorneys that can assist you in your pro se effort. Now, as a paralegal, I do recommend that you go to these bookstores, find Nolan's materials, and type your own forms. Some of them are very simple to type. However, you can't go to a paralegal and ask for their advice on anything. Paralegals cannot practice as attorneys or legal assistants. They refer you on to a lawyer. They can only cite you where the law is. You read the case law and prima facie cases for yourself because you are acting on your own behalf, not the paralegal. I hope I have that clear and I can get off my soapbox, officer. Now, also today, our objective is to demonstrate the understanding of legal terms, as I gave you that topic of pro bono. You're going to hear litigation. You're going to also hear motions, briefs, interrogatories. These are all terms that are used throughout the courtroom, and they're advocates, and that's why you hear only say, I'm an advocate. As an advocate in the area of public benefits, you are acting on behalf of assisting someone in a case for SSI or SSA. You can act as an advocate, and I did not say lawyer. And upon acting as an advocate, you can assist that person in obtaining their Social Security benefits or public benefits. And you can even go before the trial law to represent them in most cases when you are acting with another attorney. Now, the reason why I say that, my specialty is public benefit, and that is what I gave many years to for volunteering for the elderly who had public benefit issues and needed to get their SSI or SSA. they are definitely different, if you didn't notice it. The SSA is for those people who are paid into the system. SSI is a supplementary, just like welfare, for those who have nothing and they're indigent and they need income and they didn't pay into the system. Now, I'm not going to be able to cover everything today because time will not allow it. But what I will tell you, we're going to also direct understanding to the literary use of tone to identify the author's tone. Now, let me go on. I am going to go on into the story, but before I do that, I want to be mindful and politically correct and spiritually correct and honor my ancestors, because without their assistance, ladies and gentlemen, please trust me, I am nothing without the direction and guidance of my higher self, which is Oladulam Array. That's right, the African god of the African race. Now, you may call him what you want, but the real name is Oladulam Array. He has a manifestation of many examples of his array in Ilede and Owe, which I taught you about, which is the godhead that is on your head. You must honor Owe. You must honor Oladulam Array, and you must honor Ilede every day. And you must fall on your face, that's right, and pour libation to the ground to sanctify it, and ask God to put you in his plan and to make sure that you're guided by him. And don't lean on your own understanding, because our ways are not God's ways. And we don't know the mind of Christ. So as we put ourselves in position, we get to become friends of the Lord and friends of God. What did I say? We become friends. I call you friend. So what does a friend do? He tells you his most precious secrets, and he confides in you. So God is our friend. It's okay to say that Oromola is our eldest brother. He was at the right-hand side of God when God breathed breath into us. He molded us. He created us, Oromola, the prophet that we call Jesus. He molded us while God breathed breath of life into us. Now, I'm going to be obedient. You ought to be obedient. Set up your altars in your home. Put your candles on your altar, your white candles to burn in representation of your loved ones that have transitioned on. Energy is very important, ladies and gentlemen. Every day we intercept with energy. We have aura around us, and our energy frequency is very important. It has to be fed. We have to understand that our loved ones have not died. They have transitioned on. They need food. They need substance. They need to be a part of the family. And you need to usher them in and bring them back home again so you can acknowledge them. And you need to be mindful of the fact that they can never die. We are pure energy. And the atoms, they don't even know if the atom existed. They know that there's a frequency because they can measure that. So understanding frequency, our vibration is very important. Be mindful of the fact to keep your vibration high. Don't let anyone draw from your energy and pull energy away from you unless you give them the authority to do so. There'll be many leeches, ladies and gentlemen, leeching around you trying to pull your energy, trying to draw your anointing, pointing, pulling away from you because they see the aura around you and they want that energy, and sometimes they want to steal it from you. Be mindful of the fact that your aura and your energy, you have to encapsulate that aura and energy and bring life into a room when you step into the room. Let your frequencies rise. Continue to feed your frequencies by going into prayer. And prayer is ordained. Everyone has been ordained to be an evangelist, whether you want to or not. I became an evangelist at a young age. It wasn't my calling. It was ordained for me. And you hear me on these airways committed because I have been committed to be obedient, not as an evangelist, but as a priestess. That's right. As a high priestess, I am ordained and I am responsible for souls of people. And I must speak to them in this matter because my very soul cries out to me at night, reminding me of my ordination and my commitment to people and speaking into their lives. Now, as you look at the frequency around yourself, remember you're responsible for your own frequency. If you want to get out of hell, if you want to get out of hell, which you experience every day, don't let anyone tell you that there's some devil out there waiting to get you. You manifest that hell for yourself by allowing someone to take your frequencies and to utilize your powers. Be mindful of the fact your powers are your powers. Do not hand them over to anyone. Let your frequencies vibrate to the point of healing others around you. Let your tone and your voice be loving and kind, and you will draw all men unto you. Have not I drawn thee with love and kindness? I hope I'm drawing you with love and kindness today, and that forevermore you will sit in the house of the Lord and you will sup with him, and you will have a mind to stay on Christ. And remember, Christ is a concept. It is not a human being. It is a way of life. It is a lifestyle. He is our eldest brother. Oladudamore is our father, and Olorum, Oromala, is our eldest brother. He molded us from clay, and he sat at the right hand of God, so he was there at the inception of our being. He knows our beginning from our end. He was not created. He created himself. God has no mother, no father. He came into existence by himself. Don't forget those things. Only don't want to go there and have to preach today, but I want to give it to you today, because have not I drawn you, so that as you come before God, you're ready to raise your voice and lift your hands and give him praise for you this day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, for this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. No one can take my spirit or my frequency. I control the frequency level. And as I vibrate, I hope I'm reaching some of you out there in the airwaves, and I'm sending my frequency to lift you up off those couches and lift you up out of those beds and out of those prisons. And by way, the brothers that are in the prison, I hope my voice is vibrating to lift you up and give you encouragement so you can stand strong. And if you are innocent, define what it is that you want God to do for you and ask God to help us people align our prayers and blessings with you so we can lift you up out of those prisons today. Come on and go with me as we go and do our libation. Ladies and gentlemen, I set a glass of water for my father's spirit, and I say, Ashe. Say it with me, Ashe. I set a glass of water for my mother's spirit, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations. Before I pour libations, let me wash my face and hands so that I don't meet the ancestors with a stale face. I pour libations to the east, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say, Ashe. And I pour libations to the north, and I say, Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do something a little different here today. I want all of those who have been following me with the libation and the talking cure, go out and buy yourself some candles, some special candles. This time, be very particular about your colors, because your colors are very, very important. Go out and buy the color green, because we have said that we are entering new beginnings. Our spirit is not poor. There is no physical belief in filthy lucre other than what you give it. You call the energy frequency to you by calling that frequency of green. I want you to buy green candles so that the frequency of green will be drawn to you. And if you don't have any filthy lucre, go to your altar and take fake money and put the energy in that fake money to be drawn to you. The banks even in the library even have bags of old money that's been shredded. Take that money. It has a frequency, ladies and gentlemen, and put it on your altar and call filthy lucre to you. You're not broke. You're just expressing a disharmony and being broke. Put money on your altar. I don't care if it's dimes, nickels, and pennies. Put it there and light your green candle and call energy to you, because that's what Omi's getting ready to do, because there's no sense of nobody breaking you. Everybody's out to steal something from you these days, ladies and gentlemen. If it's not your unemployment, then it's your welfare. If it's not your welfare, then it's your Social Security. If it's not your Social Security, then it's your aura. It's your life saving. Don't let them do it. Stop them in their tracks. Tell them that God has ordained that I be rich, and no man can make me poor. Don't let them take away your money. Appeal every case. If they're trying to take away your unemployment, go and appeal it. Call your money back to you. Get those filthy people off your money and tell them to leave it alone, because God has ordained that you be rich. Don't let them take away your livelihood. Don't let them take away your prosperity. And don't let them take away your joy. You got a way of fighting, and this chapter is going to tell you how to fight, because you've got a fighter behind you. I'm teaching you what I know. Every opportunity where someone gives you a right to appeal something, appeal it until you can't appeal it anymore. Go to the highest courts if you have to, but keep on appealing it, because as you stand up, God sends the ancestors with you, and they will tremble in fear when they see you standing before them each time, not going away. Don't let them make you lay down when it comes to your livelihood. You have to stand. People are being made poor these days. They're taking them out of their status symbol, and they're putting them on the bread lines and reducing their incomes. And I know it, because I feel it in my spirit. And I know that they seek to find anyone that's getting money coming in. If they think you're getting money coming in, phones and everything are being tapped to find out when your money is coming in so they can swipe it away. And don't think that just because the state is taking things from you, you have a right to stand up and you have a right to appeal every situation. Don't let anyone make you poor. God is not giving you the spirit of a poor attitude, but of a sound mind. And you have to stand on it. We've got to stand on it, because we're going to get over the grain house, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to Africa to rule. Can anyone tell you that he's built those mansions in the sky for someone else? Those mansions were set aside for us, and we must rule again. We must come out of the stiff-necked behavior against one another, and we must stop coming at odds with our peers and our loved ones and our people. We must learn to love everyone in spite of their ignorance, white and black, because in the end it says we win. Read the book of Revelation. It says we win. We're going to get over the grain house. Whether you like it or not, we're going to get over the grain house. Now, you got to clean yourself up to do that. Now, I don't want to preach. I didn't come here to preach to you. I love you, and I want for you what I want for myself. That's why I'm speaking so adamant about what I'm saying. Let me get into my chapter today. Thank you so much. Mrs. Ida B. Wells, that's what we're talking about, right? The Civil Rights Act of 1875 ruled out segregation, ladies and gentlemen, and public places. Nevertheless, and I am reading from the African American literature, and I quote, the Civil Rights Act of 1875, I said, ruled out segregation, meaning it could not go on anymore, in public places. Nevertheless, after the Reconstruction, the laws was largely ignored. Nobody wanted to follow them. Can you imagine creating a law and people telling you, I don't have to follow that law? Now, we have to be very careful. Some people will do that. They will. Nevertheless, Reconstruction, the laws was largely ignored. In 1883, the Supreme Court ruled that the Civil Rights Act unconstitutional. It was unconstitutional. What does that mean? It did not meet the criteria of the Constitution law. And in 1896 came the decision of Plessy versus Ferguson. If you haven't read Plessy versus Ferguson, go on my Facebook, and there is a videotape out there concerning Plessy and Ferguson. It is a prima facie case that's been used in many cases. What did I say prima facie it means? Prima facie means a cited case that's used to argue your case, a main case that they can pull and use as examples of how to win your case based on the same issues, of course. Now, Homer Plessy, a black man from Louisiana, was arrested for sitting in a railroad car reserved for whites. He was arrested because it was against the law then. That's just the way it is. The court upheld segregation in its decision. Now, Wells reframed to Charles Summers. She explains this. Now, Summers, a senator from Massachusetts, was a reformer and abolitionist. What is an abolitionist? Somebody who's fighting for the causes, who's a liberal, who's fighting for the causes of slavery. And they might not be black. They could be white, or they could be a Quaker. Somebody that's fighting for the cause of segregation and stopping the disenchantment of having racism. In 1856, he delivered a speech, The Crime Against Kansas was the name of it, which infuriated the men. It just made them angry. After Summer denounced one of the senators from South Carolina, the senator's nephew beat Summers unconscious. I mean beat him. Summers was one of the racial Republicans who championed the civil rights for former slaves. I want you to know that. Summers. Ida B. Wells was born just before the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. She died in 1931. After a lifetime of fighting against racial discrimination and for women's rights. That's right, she stood up for women's rights. In the reading, this brief excerpt from her autobiography reads, The Crusade for Justice. Students, I want you to get an impression of who Ida B. Wells was. She was a writer, okay? And she vividly wrote, the impression of Wells vibrantly and zealous. She was very vibrant and zealous. The selection reveals that her determination and strength of convictions were apparent from an early age. She had determination from an early age, and she was real firm about it. Now, Wells' account of Jim Crow. What is Jim Crow? This is right after slavery. Remember, it is an act of continuing slavery without following the laws. The incident illustrates how black African Americans had to struggle for their rights after the emancipation. This was after slavery. We still were struggling. Can you imagine? It provides students with an opportunity. It's going to provide you with an opportunity to analyze how the author uses tone. What do I mean by tone? You may not sit on that bench. You may go to the other side on your own side. Notice the tone that I use. You can go to the other side, and it will be all right. Now, the tone in your voice is everything. If you have a handle on tone, use it because it could work to your advantage or disadvantage. Okay, I want you to understand that you have to go and read the story. Read the story. Also look up Plessy versus Ferguson. Okay, one example of early civil rights cases is that of W.H.R. Agee, who went to court after he was denied a hotel room in Jefferson City, Missouri. I know where that is. I live in Missouri and have gone through Jefferson City. As a matter of fact, my brother was born in the county of Jefferson City. Now, in another instance, Sally J. Robinson brought suit when she was forced to ride a second-class railroad car from Tennessee to Virginia. Although she had the first-class ticket, they still made her sit in second-class citizen seats. Now, I want you to think about this. How would you feel, students or parents, if you bought a first-class airline ticket and somebody said you can't sit in first class, you must go to the back and you paid for it? How would you feel? Just think about it. How would you feel? Okay, now, back then in those days, you really couldn't do anything but just think on it. You couldn't feel. And it's all about your feelings now, but then you had to stop feeling so much. Why don't you stop feeling so much, Sister Sadie, you should not be voicing your opinion so much. You were made to be quiet and don't talk about your feelings. So we locked our feelings inside, people, and we weren't able to talk about them. We had feelings, but they were pressed down, shaken together, running over in our bosom, and had no one to talk to. Now, I want to discuss something with you. It is important to understand what the crusade was. There were many crusades through Christianity that weren't right. There were crusades to force people into Christianity. There were even people that were killed. There was only 20% of those people that followed Christianity on their own. The remaining were forced into Christianity during the crusades, the Christian crusades, I might add. Now, the discussion connotates of the word crusade in the title of Wells' autobiography. Now, I want to ask you something. How could you create your own crusade? And what would you do? And some students will recall the series of the wars that were fought in the Middle Ages between Europeans, Christians, and Muslims. That's right. Those were crusades of fighting and killing one another, all in the name of love. I say stop in the name of love, because killing is not the answer. The word crusade has a broader meaning, ladies and gentlemen. However, it has a bigger meaning, and it includes any struggle in favor of a cause. That is what a crusade is. You could create your own crusade and create, you know, the word about the cause. It's there. You can find it. It generally is associated with noble motives. You have to have noble motives to create these crusades. Students, you may be familiar with the phrase crusading journalists. That's right. There was one out there during that time, they created this. And I want to tell you, keep this phrase in mind, the crusading journalists. When you read this story, be reminded of it. I want you to keep this in mind about how can you change things in a crusade. Now, here are some other words. Compromise. Plaintiff. Plaintiff is the person that brings the case against somebody else who's been injured by somebody. Okay? Redress. Look up that word, redress. And grievance. What does grievance mean? I'm grieving over the way you're treating me today. Meaning you're angry, you're hurt, you're feeling bad, you're grieving. Okay? Redress, as I said. Indignation. There is another one, compromise. There's a great compromise when you come together and you mediate, make a decision to disagree, but at the same time you make the decision to be agreeable with one another. Now, law is a very, very vast entity. It's a science, and there's many shades of the law. However, I did teach you about the black codes and the laws that were created right out of slavery during the Jim Crow law. There were laws that prevented you from being on the streets without a pass. At the first of the month, you had to have some job stating you worked for someone, and you couldn't be found playing around and joking with Caucasian people. There were many laws created on the books for black people that nobody else had to honor. Now, is this right? No. And it still exists. Black people are still subjugated to the laws that came right out of Jim Crow. And they haven't changed. They have gone in a different mode and are still somehow being used. Just like the Rodney King case, when he was beaten. The average black person is pulled over more than other races of people. And they're fearful all the time of what could happen when they're pulled over. Because there was a law, ladies and gentlemen, during the Emancipation Proclamation that said if you're slave, was acting out, and during the heat of you correcting the slave and whipping him, that you could kill him, and you would not be charged with a felony because you were correcting your slave. Now, Rodney King says to believe that the same thing could have happened. He could have been beaten to death, and they could have said he was acting out. Now, we've got to change some laws on the books. Caucasian, you have got to let us help you correct some of these laws that are not even advantageous towards you. Some of the laws have got to change. How do you change a law? How do you create a bill? Go on the Internet and learn how to create a law and a bill and find out how right now on these airways they are voting. There is a bill called S-529 that pertains to the low frequency of radio. It is so hard for African Americans to get on the radio and talk to their own community about issues that pertain to them. So President Clinton passed the bill for low frequencies in the House, but it couldn't make it through the Senate. We are now gathering together to call in. You can look it up on the Internet and place our request for our senator to make a motion on the floor for that bill so that we can have radio stations in our community under low frequency and we can talk about issues in our community that plagues us. Now, Lil Wayne, Lil Kim, and Beyonce, they got some good things going on. I got to give them some props. However, we've got to create our own role models, and we've got to set them out there so that we are not placating role models that don't depict what we want in our community. So what am I saying? I'm saying get behind these bills. Use your pro se and self-help ability to help these bills get passed so you can have the power of the microphone, the power of speech. It is one of your inalienable rights. And as you exercise it, there are abolitionists that are white also who are liberals that want you to have these rights, and they're fighting for you too. So don't just think that all they're saying is just a group of black people. There are abolitionists out there that are fighting too. And I want to raise my hand to those abolitionists who are fighting for a cause, be you black or white. You're standing up for what's right. What is happening to our country now is unheard of. The average young person is confused about what is happening to our country. The power of speech is being taken away as I sit here. We are very blessed to be unmolested to be on these airwaves to talk today, and I know that. So don't take it lightly, you Blog Talk users and those who are co-hosts and hosts. Make sure you are putting issues out there on the platform that are going to serve the community to make a change. Now, I am doing that. And I'm urging every one of you to do the same thing. Now, let me go on. Looking at what happened with this whole situation of writing and depicting what you wanted to say, I want you to understand that Harriet Tubman was not the only person out there. Harriet Beecher Stowe was there. She was a white lady. And Susan B. Anthony. You have to know your history. These people worked in the civil rights movement and the women's suffrage movement. Susan B. Anthony was an elegant woman that worked so hard in the women's suffrage movement. Now, did she help us in our fight to freedom? Yes, she did. And we, in exchange, helped her. So I'm not telling you to get the idea that we're going to do this without other people helping us. We're going to need help to make changes. Now, I want you to also understand the name Uncle Tom. It's a misnomer. They told you, oh, he's an Uncle Tom. It doesn't mean that at all. What Uncle Tom really used to do was take the cotton out of his sack and put it in other black people's sack to help them so they wouldn't be beaten. In other words, he was a hero. I want you to know that. I want to indicate that he was somebody that you can look up to. Uncle Tom is depicted as a respectful and gentle man who accepts slavery with patience and tolerance. Okay, the term is now used unfavorable for a black who is submissive and subservient. Those are other terms, subservient. Now, I'm not asking you to slide backwards and be subservient. I'm asking you to step up to the plate and understand that you've got to stand up for the rights of all people. The term Jim Crow, can we talk about that? The term Jim Crow could be traced to an early 19th century minstrel song. Jim Crow was a stereotype character in a song and dance act. That's where it came from. The term is used today for a system of segregation and also as a personification of discrimination against blacks. When you hear that word Jim Crow, you know that is a personification against blacks. You have to understand these terms. Mothers, if you don't know these terms, get the dictionary and look them up. Help your youngsters. Okay, you have to understand that speaking and listening is very important. And mostly what